Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's EHS podcast for the week ending November 21st. I'm Linda Hechtel.
And I'm Allison Granke.
And we are bringing you the latest news in environmental health and safety. So our first story, Allison, I understand is about an update on mining safety in Turkey.
Yeah, so we've reported on several safety incidents that have occurred in Turkey over the past year, including the coal mine accident that killed 301 workers in May in what's been called Turkey's worst ever mining disaster. Recently, on October 28th, a coal mine flooded in the province of Karaman, trapping 18 miners underground. And even more recently, last week, a mine explosion injured three workers. According to Turkey's Labor and Social Security Minister, Ferhat Çelik, a recent law enacted in January to combat industrial accidents requires all hazardous workplaces in Turkey to employ an occupational safety specialist. According to Çelik, companies in violation of this law are required to pay a fine of 11,000 Turkish lira each month that they do not have a safety specialist. However, Çelik also says there are currently 470,000 workplaces that have still not signed a contract with an occupational safety specialist and therefore are responsible for the retroactive payment of these fines. This is nearly 70% of the identified 680,000 hazardous workplaces that this law applies to. So the government plans to amend the existing law to give companies that haven't yet hired a safety specialist time to do so. And Çelik suggested that those companies who do recruit a specialist immediately will be exempt from the fines. Turkey's biggest problem doesn't necessarily appear to lie with its workplace safety laws or mining regulations, but rather with how they are carried out and enforced. The mine explosion of last week occurred at a mining site that had been shut down last July due to poor safety standards, but nonetheless, the business's owner began operating again without making any real changes to unsafe practices. In the case of the May explosion that claimed the lives of 301 people, the mine had been inspected 11 times since 2009, and the mine had been most recently inspected just a few months prior to the accident, at which time no safety violations were reported. However, some reports have suggested that these types of inspections are carried out in formality only and are not proper inspections. So hopefully Turkey's continued attempts to improve workplace safety will take these concerns into account and result in real improvements for the safety of workers going forward.
Wow, it sounds like they really have a big job ahead of them.
Yeah, definitely. And Linda, you've got a story for us on solar?
Yes, I do. Actually, today it's a bit of a sort of an environmental technology review, and as you said, specifically about solar power. And it's with regards to residential solar power setups. So right now, the installation and permit-related costs related to doing a solar setup for a residential home are really the majority of the price in getting that kind of installation set up for your home. So a Boston-based company is now looking to change all of that. So the Fraunhofer Center of Sustainable Energy Systems has developed a way to simplify the installation process of solar panels for residents. So the center is expecting this new approach is going to reduce the cost of a typical residential installation from about $22,000 to as little as $7,500.
Pretty big savings.
It is. And really, the reason why it's significant are twofold. One, I mean, purely from the reduced cost and allowing homeowners to be able to partake in something like that.
It becomes a lot more accessible.
Exactly. And then really the technology innovation is also really interesting. As I said before, it's the labor and the installation costs that are really the majority of the expense. So now what they have done is they have modified the installation of how you actually install these solar panels using an adhesive backing and quick connect cables. So this new process really reduces the whole installation period from a period of time that would take days, if not weeks, and depending on how complex the installation was, it could take months. And now they're literally saying they could do a home installation in just over an hour.
Wow.
So homeowners can install the systems themselves. They would glue the panels onto the rooftop. And then there's a permit handling combination of electric sensors and software that are built into the panels. So it communicates with the local jurisdictions and sends information to them regarding their installation. Overall, I mean, the general reminder is that dealing with anything on your roof, you have to be safe. And solar power panel installations are also very dangerous, so they have to be installed properly. The heavy component of the solar panels can frequently get blown off roofs, so they caution for extra care. and all that goes along with that. Right now, the Fraunhofer system uses a light, flexible panel and encased durable plastics. Feel that it's a very promising solution and it can withstand winds of up to 110 miles an hour. Although everything is available for installation, they're still going to do testing and so on and so forth, so it's not commercially available. So really it's a matter of staying tuned and see what they have for us.
Sounds good.
It's very exciting. So in other news, I understand that you have an update for us on noise pollution.
Yeah, so the Natural Resources Defense Council, also known as the NRDC, is trying to draw some more attention to a more unconventional type of pollution associated with oil and gas drilling. So what we normally talk about with oil and gas, you know, there's a lot of talk about air and water pollution that results from the growth of new oil and gas development techniques known as fracking. But noise pollution caused by these oil and gas drilling activities is often overlooked. So this type of environmental noise is seen as more of a minor temporary nuisance in comparison to the more traditional forms of pollution that we recognize as concerns, despite the fact that public health experts have identified noise as a health threat for communities near oil and gas development sites.
That's very interesting.
Studies have also shown that noise levels are often above safety thresholds. So, in fact, in a recent post on the NRDC's blog, they claim that noise is one of the most ever-present environmental health problems in the U.S. and many other countries as well. Noise can have a physical impact on hearing, obviously, but the stress caused by noise can also have serious effects on the immune system. To combat environmental noise, the EPA has guidelines that suggest annual 24-hour averages should be no more than 45 decibels indoors and 55 decibels outdoors. OSHA also has occupational permissible noise exposure limits, which specify the maximum periods of time that workers can be exposed to different levels of noise.
So does the NRDC have any recommendations for improving these kinds of guidelines?
Well, the NRDC suggests that there needs to be increased noise monitoring at and near unconventional oil and gas development sites, including fracking. They also want assessments of the health impact of noise at and near these sites. So additionally, they're recommending strengthening state and local laws to require operators to submit noise management plans with their drilling permit applications. And you can read the blog post in its entirety by following the link in the resources section of this podcast.
Awesome. That's an excellent update. So that's it for this week. So stay safe, everyone.